This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. We're going to do a life insurance story now that's a little bit haunting, is not a terrible word here. Jack Lowry has a piece in The Atlantic magazine called "The Gay Men Who Have Lived for Years with Someone Waiting on Their Death." The story starts in the late 1980s in the advertising pages of the Gay Men's Lifestyle magazines. Jack, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Give me some sense of the advertising sections of these gay lifestyle magazines. What were they like?
I mean, they were as varied as any magazine today. I mean, you had advertisements for alcohol, advertisements for designer clothing. You had advertisements for, you know, vacations, cruises. Hmm. And you also had advertisements for viatical settlements.
Okay, so now you have to tell me what viatical settlements were.
In a viatical settlement, a person names a third unrelated party as the benefactor to their life insurance policy in exchange for immediate cash. So if you have a $100,000 life insurance policy and you want to viaticate it,
right,
I'll give you 70 cents on the dollar, and you'll name me as the benefactor to your life insurance policy. And so when you die, I'll collect, you know, the entire $100,000.
The catch, of course, is that you're waiting around for me to die.
Yes.
Is there, I mean, life insurance is a regulated industry, right? Is there anything that regulates these viatical settlements?
Not really. Kind of one of the more gruesome parts of the industry is that, especially during the AIDS epidemic, this was not something that was regulated. I mean, some of the brokers who were buying up viatical settlements, you know, I'm sure had, you know, the best interest in mind for these people, but there were a certain amount of pariahism.
Right, because in theory, it's a quick buck, right? I mean, the life expectancy of these men who had AIDS in the 80s and 90s was not long.
No, it wasn't.
Until medicine got involved.
Yes. In 1995, a class of drugs called protease inhibitors came to market. Protease inhibitors dramatically expanded the life expectancy for people living with HIV. Nowadays, the life expectancy for an HIV-positive person is just a couple of years short of an HIV-negative counterpart. And basically, the entire industry around viatical settlements collapsed.
Wow. And so they, with these men now living, you know, some of them from those days, many of them are still alive.
Yes.
And the policies are being paid by?
There isn't really a way to find out who owns your life insurance policy once you sell it. And so the men that I talked to who viaticated their policies in the 90s, they don't really know who owns their policies today.
Which must somehow be terrifying in some weird way.
I don't think it's constantly on their mind, but right. I think it's something that they definitely do think about from time to time. One of the people that I interviewed is a guy named Sean Strube, and he is the mayor of his town in Pennsylvania. So he is somewhat of a public figure.
Yeah, with some weird kind of price on his head?
With somebody waiting
for him to die.
If they've been paying the policy premiums all these years.
What did these men do with the money they got?
The answer to that is varied. You know, hospital bills were exorbitant for people living with AIDS. The only available medication for a long time was a drug called AZT. It cost $10,000 a year. It was the most expensive pharmaceutical ever brought to market. But two of the men that I spoke with actually started their own businesses. One, Sean Strube, started a magazine called Pause, which is still around today. It's a magazine designed for people living with HIV. One of the other guys that I talked to, Henry Scott, started his own media company that's based in Los Angeles.
It's interesting. It's a story that's a legacy of what feels like another time, if that makes sense.
Yes.
You know, but with ramifications that are playing out today.
Mm-hmm.
What's your sense of regrets that the folks you talk to have about maybe selling those policies? Or do they need the money in the moment and that's what they did?
Neither of the men that I spoke with had any regrets about this. They both said it was the best financial decision they've ever made.
In that moment and to this day?
My sense of it is that, yes, you know, they were able to access large amounts of cash that they would have never otherwise been able to realize.
Jack Lowry, thanks a lot.
Thank you for having me.